This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. There's a lot to talk about.
Of course, I know
that when you, Howard, are tweeting about sporting things, that the nation is really taken over by sports. And I wanted to start with a couple of sporting snippets. I know that Louis spoke about the Roland Garros final yesterday, but also at Roland Garros, an Israeli, Guy Sasson, made history when he defended his quad singles title and won Roland Garros for the second time in a row. This is, of course, the wheelchair event. And Guy defeated his doubles partner, Niels Fink, in the final, which was quite some final. Niels and Guy had the previous day already won the doubles title together. And then they came up against each other in the singles final. Niels is ranked number one in the world. Guy ranked number three. But it was certainly a final worthy of the French Open and Roland Garros. And of course, Guy dedicated his victory in a very emotional way to IDF soldier Yoav Rafer, who was killed last week in Gaza. And he made a very emotional Am Yisrael Chai on that court at the French Open, which was really an amazing thing to see.
Incredible.
The other little sporting snippet that I wanted to share with listeners revolves around Israel's women's water polo team. They are competing in the qualifiers for the European Championships, and they were playing in Slovakia. They were playing in Slovakia, and they were playing against Sweden, and they won their game very, very comfortably with a score of 22-8, which for water polo is quite some score. And it is customary in these events that the winning team gets the national anthem at the end of the game.
Right.
And in this particular case, for whatever reason, the Slovakians were unable to come up with Israel's national anthem to be played as is traditional at the end of the game. And so the Israeli girls team just gathered together and they sang Hatik for themselves. They weren't going to be bothered by the fact that the hosts couldn't come up with the national anthem. They just decided that they were going to do it all themselves, and good
incredible.
For them.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right, let's talk about, well, a performance of another kind, which is the Gaza. That is, they've been apprehended and they've been transferred where? To Ashdod. Tell us what's happening here.
Yeah, so in the early hours of this morning, the Shayetet Shlosh Esrei, which is the naval commando unit, a really highly skilled and highly trained unit of the Israeli Navy, they came across the Madeleine, which is the ship that's being used, now being called in much of the press the selfie yacht, because apparently, according to the foreign ministry, the yacht was really all about taking selfies and celebrities trying to show themselves up. And so what happened was that Israeli forces boarded the Madeleine earlier this morning. They dished out sandwiches, of course, as you would expect them to do, to all the those who are on the ship. And Howard, you posted a very nice picture showing Greta really looking at those sandwiches with hunger, by the looks of things, right? She didn't quite grab one, not in that picture, but She definitely looked like she wanted to grab it from the IDF soldier who was offering it to her.
Looked delicious, yeah.
And so they were transferred to Ashdod. We understand from the foreign ministry that the participants from the yacht are going to be shown video footage from October the 7th.
Oh, so I saw that. I saw somebody tweet that, and I was hoping, I was saying to Senna earlier, I hope that's true, because I think it would be an important thing to do.
Not necessarily that I think it's going to influence them or change their minds, because, of course, there is a narrative that immediately would be used against that. But the foreign ministry did say that they brought with them, that in trying to justify why they were calling it the selfie yacht and it's all about celebrities trying to promote themselves, the foreign ministry went on to say that the amount of aid that was carried on this yacht was less than one truckload of aid, as opposed to Israel having already delivered more than 1,200 truckloads of aid within the past 2 weeks alone. But the less than one truckload that came on the yacht apparently was even depleted, because those who were on the yacht were eating from the supplies and using up whatever those supplies were. So what eventually arrived in Ashdod early this morning was a lot less than what was originally put on as aid to Gaza. Nonetheless, that aid will be distributed to Gaza through the usual channels. And once Greta and her friends have been shown footage from October the 7th, they apparently will then be deported, which is more or less what I expected would be the general process that would be used. It would be had been used quite successfully before, and this time around they'll use the same system. So it seems as if though the Israeli Navy had been training for some days already in order to undertake this interception peacefully and without major incident, and they certainly have succeeded in doing that. And I'm glad that during their training they also practiced bringing sandwiches and food to all of the participants on the flotilla. And so that really is the end of that. And as the foreign ministry said, the show is over. And that's really the way that it's being viewed right now. So I'm guessing that during the course of today they will be transferred to the airport, and that Greta's plea for the Swedish government to come and save her from having been kidnapped and having been taken into custody by Israeli authorities or those supporting Israel is all a little dramatic.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Israel has been in contact with the Swedish embassy. It's not as though this came as a surprise. It's the slowest train crash in history. This has to have been coordinated with the Swedes. Otherwise, the Swedish government, I imagine, would have come out with an official statement if they were concerned.
I'm guessing that this has been coordinated with all the local embassies, that the flight timetables for all of those who are being deported back to their home countries was well coordinated beforehand. The only thing that we were unsure about is exactly when they would land, come into Israeli territorial waters. But as I say, this had the propensity to escalate out of control. And I think that it's a job well done that it didn't in the end, that ultimately everything kind of went according to plan and without major incident, even though people were being very critical yesterday of Defense Minister Yisrael Katz when he announced publicly that the IDF has been given instructions to make sure that this yacht doesn't enter Gaza and doesn't get anywhere near Gaza and will be intercepted by Israeli forces. There are people who think that instructions like that should probably be given directly through the command and not necessarily through the press. But nonetheless, you know, and people thought that the result of issuing a statement like that publicly might well be that people might try to get in the way of what the IDF would need to do in order to intercept this yacht. But as I say, ultimately, it's all worked out pretty well. Yeah. And they've had their 5 minutes of fame on Instagram, and they've managed to send out the selfies from the yacht. And of course, Israel has managed to show, I hope, the footage from October the 7th and get everybody back to the airport as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I'm just picturing her at the airport, the security saying, "What was your purpose of this visit? And did you pack
You
your
packed your
own
bags.
bags? Did you bring
Exactly.
anything for anybody?" Anyway, it would be quite a funny scene. The IDF succeeded in recovering bodies of hostages held in Gaza. They've also now recovered the body of Mohammed Sinwar. What was achieved there?
Well, I think we need to start with the fact that on late on Wednesday, actually, the bodies of Judy Weinstein Hagar and her husband, who were citizens, residents of Kibbutz Be'eri, they were out walking on the morning of October the 7th when they were attacked. And Judy actually communicated. Judy was a mother of four and a grandmother of seven. And she, was, as I said, they were out walking, and her and Gad were out walking together, and they were attacked. And she managed to get on the phone to explain that Gad had been shot. And we understand that they were actually killed, both of them, on October the 7th. From the kibbutz. They were killed on the kibbutz, probably not Be'eri, but near Oz. I need to correct myself. They were from kibbutz near Oz. And they probably were killed on October the 7th and their bodies taken into Gaza. And just to give an idea to listeners of how this story unfolded, that Judy was a volunteer on kibbutz near Oz when she apparently heard Gad playing the flute one day. And from there began a love affair between the two of them that lasted until October the 7th, when they made their home on Kibbutz Ne'er Oz and they raised four children and also seven grandchildren. And Judy was, they were known to be such kind, gentle people, peace lovers, trying to embrace all of those around them, weaker members of the community. Judy was an English teacher to children with special needs. And Judy was well known for writing haiku. And she they apparently published a book of hers from all their haiku poetry that she apparently wrote a poem every day on Kibbutz Ne'er Oz, which she publicized. And ultimately a book has been published of her poetry. And we understand that as a result of having interrogated prisoners from Gaza, the intelligence managed to get more detailed information about where Judy and Gad's bodies were buried in Gaza. And overnight on Wednesday, in what is being described as quite a dangerous operation, they managed to retrieve these two bodies and bring them home for burial, which is the least that one would expect. And then later on the day, later in the day, we understood that also from Kibbutz Ne'er Oz, the body of a Thai hostage, Natapong Pinta, had been retrieved from Gaza. Natapong was 36 years old. He was a father to a young boy, and he had a wife in Thailand. And he was working in on Kibbutz Ne'er Oz as a farmhand when he was kidnapped to Gaza. And we understand that he was kidnapped alive and ultimately was killed in Gaza through details that we are not particularly aware of right now. And in fact, his family had still held out hope until the moment that his body was returned to Israel that he might still be alive. So we had no indication that he had been killed until such time as his body was retrieved. But ultimately, his body has been retrieved. And I should emphasize that amongst the now remaining 55 hostages in Gaza, they are not all necessarily Jewish Israeli citizens. Some of them are also some of the Thai nationals who were working as farmhands on the kibbutzim in that area and who've been captured into Gaza. Some of them were killed. We understand that some of them may also be alive. So At least we managed to also bring home the body of Natapong Pinto. These are very, very important events, even though unfortunately these people are no longer alive and we were unable to bring them back to their families alive. It's as important to us to bring their bodies home for proper burial. And I think that that's what's happened on this occasion. And of course, our condolences go to the families of those involved. And unfortunately, it doesn't end there because it's going to still get a lot worse before it improves for us. But as you rightly point out, the other piece of news is that the body of Mohammed Sinwar was retrieved from below the European hospital complex in Gaza. And there are a few interesting things about this exercise of retrieving his body. First of all, just to confirm that he was killed in that attack that took place, because there was a lot of speculation and there were even statements coming out from people in Gaza saying, of course, he hasn't been killed and he's very much alive and he's been in contact with us. We now know that that's all lies and that he was killed in that attack. But what's really important, I think, for listeners to understand is that even though Mohammed Sinwar was underneath the European hospital, deep down in a tunnel, and the IDF managed to reach him underneath in that tunnel, underneath the hospital complex, and managed to kill him and a number of other senior Hamas leaders who were with him, the hospital complex above ground remained intact, was undamaged, and remained fully intact. And it seems as if, though, one of the tactics that might have been used on this occasion is to somehow put poisonous gas into that tunnel where he was. I have no idea how the intelligence worked in order to make this happen. But apparently they managed to get some sort of gas into that area, which is exactly why they were so intent upon making sure that potential rescue teams who gathered on the in the area immediately after this attack took place were all kept well away from the area, because there was concern that it might take some time for this gas to work to kill him. And they didn't want people to get there to rescue him before the gas had done its job. So it's an incredible piece of military tactic that was deployed here in order to ensure, on the one hand, that the evil people who were plotting the killing of more Jews beneath that hospital complex were caught and were eliminated in order to prevent them from carrying out any further evil attacks. And at the same time, the hospital, which is a humanitarian symbol, was still left completely intact. And we understand that there were some journalists who were allowed into that tunnel area to see what goes on. Just the whole story makes for some fascinating reading.
It really does. We've got not a lot of time, but can we just talk about this yet another terrible, terrible incident where a building was booby-trapped and a number of IDF soldiers, four IDF soldiers, were killed. What happened?
So this was an incident that took place in southern Gaza. And the building involved where the four IDF soldiers were killed was actually identified as having been booby-trapped. Just to give listeners some sort of an understanding of Israeli intelligence and how it's working. We spoke earlier about the intelligence having managed to get information about where those hostages were buried. We spoke about the intelligence working to find out where Mohammed Sinwar was. And now we're talking about intelligence working in order to identify which buildings in Gaza are the ones that are booby-trapped, right, which roads are the ones where explosive devices have been laid. Israel's intelligence is working massively overtime in order to look at so many different aspects of this war and so many different aspects of the threats against Israel right now. But we understand that the intelligence had identified this building as being booby-trapped. The soldiers were sent in using protocols which are designed in order to confront the danger of booby-trapped buildings. We understand that they saw some sort of an explosive charge on a lower floor. They detonated this explosive charge. They thought that the building has been made safe for further investigation, only to discover on a higher floor that either another explosive charge was laid there and booby-trapped the building, or alternatively, the one on the lower floor may have been a decoy of some sort in order to distract their attention and for them to think exactly what they thought, that the building had been made safe. And as a result of that, unfortunately, four young lives were lost in the process. And it took a little bit of time for their names to be released ultimately. But we received their names. And of course, our condolences go to their family and our great thanks for the work that their sons did in order to put their lives at risk and ultimately give up their lives for the safety of our country. We don't take that for granted at all.
That is where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. And that was the Israel Report with Anthony Reich. We can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.